The air has finally gotten a little crisper this week, and for the first time, it felt like it might actually be fall. The cooler weather made it a little more palatable for me as I stood at Lowe's looking at the pumpkins and the mums and the large inflatable ghosts with the Christmas wreaths and the flashing Christmas trees just beyond them. We do this crazy mash of seasons from the start of October onward. It's such a strange slide from the ghosts and goblins and gluttony of candy bars at Halloween into the season where we are supposed to be grateful for the whole month of November, while in actuality we are lavishly and frantically planning and spending away in preparation for Christmas, the commercial one, not the kind we're supposed to celebrate. In today's reading, Jesus' response to the Samaritan's gratitude gave me pause. A chance to stop and think before the onslaught of the merged seasons, before it begins and I can truly work on what being grateful looks like. Gratitude is a commonly used word. We make lists of things we are grateful for around this time of year, and we do this thing in schools where we make our children write what they're grateful for on tail feathers for turkeys. I've always thought that was weird. And you know, they have those little placemats they make. The word gratitude bears many different levels of meaning in our discourse. Some of it is trite and cheap. Some of it is maudlin and dripping with something far less than wholehearted sincerity. And some of it is deep down to the bone. Today's gospel strikes me there, deep down to the bone. There's a physicality about the story that gets me. There are 10 lepers who've been suffering for years, left to be alone and separate because of their disease. I suppose they had the company of one another, but they had been cut off from society. They were even careful in approaching Jesus, keeping their distance from him. And without any fuss or any touch, they're healed by Jesus. "Go and show yourselves to the priest," Jesus says, and off the 10 go, no longer condemned to be alone, no longer suffering with a debilitating disease, restored to health by Jesus. 9 of them do just what Jesus said. They go. But one Samaritan turns back. He cannot go just yet. He needs to recognize from where this gift of healing has come. It must mean something to Jesus. He says so. "We're not 10 made clean, and it's only you, the foreigner, that stops to thank me." I don't know how the other 9 truly felt about their healing, but one can only presume that they were somehow thankful too, but they didn't turn back. There's something about the actual fleshiness of the Samaritan turning back to acknowledge Jesus, prostrating himself in front of Jesus, recognizing from whence this healing has come that captures me. I am not necessarily a kinesthetic learner, somebody who learns and experiences life through movement. But I am a lifelong Episcopalian, and Episcopal aerobics are a real thing. We stand, we bow, we kneel, we sit, we rise again. And I went to Catholic school, where we stood when a nun or adult entered the room, and we knelt by our desks, and we crossed ourselves in prayer when the life flight helicopter buzzed over the school to park at the hospital at the corner of our campus. So although I'm not a ballet dancer or a particularly adept athlete assimilating the world through how I move, I have, in part, learned about my faith and how to practice it through movement. Somehow the movements of our bodies can feel like the turning of our hearts. The Samaritan cannot help but turn back to Jesus, see him, praise him, fall at his feet in thanksgiving. I have to wonder if the gift was somehow made fuller, richer to him by the simple act of turning to acknowledge from whence the gift came. The other 9 were no less healed. But I just can't help thinking that the Samaritan, by turning back to Jesus to say thank you, had gained something more. Scholar Diana Butler Bass, in her book Grateful, explores how gratitude is at work in our personal and communal lives. There are many studies that demonstrate how people who express gratitude and practice it in their lives through meditation and action are happier and healthier people. They actually live longer. Gratitude is the place from which real joy springs. It's not the other way around. We're not grateful because of joy. People who express gratitude are more fully able to experience joy. Bass says, gratitude at its deepest and perhaps most transformative level is not warm feelings about what we have. Instead, gratitude is the deep ability to embrace the gift of who we are, that we are, that in the multi-billion year history of the universe, each one of us has been born, can love, grows in awareness, and has a story. In turning back to see Jesus, to fall at his feet and thank him, the Samaritan seems to be fully embracing this kind of deep down to the bone gratitude. He's been healed by Jesus, but in turning back, he is also transformed by that healing. He, a Samaritan, someone outside of the faith tradition of Jesus, sees that this love that Jesus has offered him is worthy of his whole self, heart, and body. By turning back, he forever ties his story to the face of Jesus, to the love of God that defies our human attempts to name it. In thinking about this story, about the physicality of the experience, I turned over a memory of something I witnessed a few years ago. I was at the funeral of my father-in-law. I had arrived about an hour or so before the funeral to meet up with my children who had arrived with their father and their cousins. All funerals are difficult, and this one was no different. My father-in-law, Julian, was beloved. He died after a brief illness, and it left us all reeling. My mother-in-law had asked me to do something in the sanctuary. I'm not sure what it was. And when I walked in there, that's when I noticed him. A man, old, not as old as Julian, and he was wearing pressed work khakis, a starched white short sleeve shirt, a tie, and red suspenders. He was exceptionally tall, easily over 6'4 or 6'5, and he was standing ramrod straight in the front side aisle pew. I was a little awkward, and I walked right past him and didn't know what to say or do. But my brother-in-law came in a few moments later and addressed him by introducing himself. The story unfolded that this gentleman had worked for Julian for years before. Wheeler seemed to recall him. A few words were exchanged about how sorry he was for our family's loss and what a good and fine man Julian had been. Wheeler said, "The service will not be for a while now. Please, please have a seat while you wait." "Oh no, I will stand," he said. "I will stand for your father until the service begins. He always treated me with kindness and respect, and I will stand." And he did. As the people filled in and took their seats, he stood. He stood for Julian. Not to make a show to us. I don't think he knew another soul in the whole church. And he did not seem to mind doing something different from the rest of us. He stood because Julian had been someone profound to him, and the best way he knew how to demonstrate that was to stand. He showed his sincere gratitude for the life of Julian by staying right there in the front aisle on his feet. I'd like to enter this mash of seasons differently this year. I want to remember that all my life, all my story is rooted in gratitude. Not simply for what I have, but for who I turn to and who I stand for. In living a life based in gratitude, I want to be like the Samaritan who turns and falls before Jesus, recognizing who made me to be who I am. Flannery O'Connor said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you odd." I think being odd for the sake of the immeasurable love we are privy to is wholly appropriate. So I want to be like the man who stood at Julian's funeral too. I want to stand up for this love that I am so grateful for, even if it seems odd or out of place sometimes. In our week ahead, we will be given many opportunities to turn toward Jesus and remember from where all our many gifts come. Maybe we will be presented with the opportunity to be a little odd in how we stand and recognize that gift. In a few moments, we will stand and turn face the cross and proclaim what we believe. We will do this not because this life is easy, not because we can make a list of things we ought to be grateful for, but because deep down in our bones, we know that by turning to and standing for Jesus, that is where it all begins. That is the beginning of wisdom. That is the beginning of the story.